It's time to get up and get your day started.
Get up! Get up!
It's Sports 56 Mornings with Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
On Sports 56 and 98.5 FM, the first hour of Sports 56 Mornings is brought to you by Old Dominic Distillery in downtown Memphis. Now, here are your hosts, Greg and Eli.
Good morning, 7 o'clock here in the Family Leisure Studios. And happy Friday, everybody. It is another beautiful day on tap weather-wise to kick off the weekend here in the Mid-South. Now, I might get some rain over the weekend, but today it looks like another beautiful day here in the Mid-South. A lovely start to the morning once again, much like we've had each of the last few days. And the humidity not crazy like we had earlier in the week, so that is good as well. Currently 65 degrees to get your morning started with sunshine out there. Good start to a Friday, and Fridays are always good to begin with. Welcome into the Family Leisure Studios, where family and fun come together. That is Family Leisure at 2120 Witten Road. Those pools and spas, the great deals of the patio furniture, all of that still going on over at Family Leisure. So go check them out this weekend and get yourself set up for some outdoor living. Good to have you with us here on Sports 56 Mornings. It is the Friday, June 5th, 2026 edition of the program. Plenty of stuff to get into on today's program. Of course, the NBA Finals Game 2 coming up tonight as the Spurs will look to even up that series. Last night it was Game 2 in the Stanley Cup Finals. You've got the College Baseball Super Regionals. Half of them get underway today. The other half will get underway tomorrow. The Women's College World Series wrapped up last night, and we've got a repeat champion on the women's side of things. Stuff coming out of Major League Baseball, NFL, all kinds of stuff to get into, and good to have you with us on this Friday morning. And look who is back. It is the man himself.
Who?
Fresh out of his trip to outer space and the SpaceX. It is Mr. Greg Gaston.
Did you notice I timed it out perfectly to come back on a Friday and then have the weekend? I mean, it's timed out as good as it could be, but it's great to be back, guys. It was a great vacation. I did one of those Viking River cruises. I'm sure people have seen the commercials
for
that.
You cruised with the Vikings.
I cruised with the Vikings, the Norsemen.
The Minnesota Vikings?
Yeah, J.J. McCarthy was there. Kyler fantastic. Murray, their new quarterback. They were all there. No, it's. I would highly recommend it. Highly recommend it. Great time. Went through a bunch of countries, saw a lot of stuff, and had a fantastic time. The weather, unbelievable for the trip. It was, we flew into the Netherlands, into Amsterdam, and Amsterdam is everything you thought it would be and more. Pretty wild country.
Lots of weed?
Lots of weed, lots of women, laid back, but a real scenic place, and the weather was actually Memphis-like. It was warm, it was humid, and all the natives were saying, this is crazy, we just had 50 degrees last week, and this is unseasonably warm. It doesn't get warm there until July. So we had nice weather to walk around. We only had one day of rain. That was basically the last day we were there, and we were in the Black Forest of Germany, which was quite interesting, to say the least. But we did a lot of different things.
So Amsterdam, just like Memphis, weather, weed, and women.
Weather, weed, and women, yeah.
And I didn't know Amsterdam was Memphis.
Minus the rap. There was no rap music there in the Netherlands.
W's of Memphis are in Amsterdam as well.
Actually, maybe there is rap music because they say, and they make a big deal about it, that they have the best DJs in the world.
Well, that's probably down in the red light district, and I don't think you were down
there. Oh, I was down there.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no, we walked down. My wife
was indulging in the... No, we and women.
My wife was belly aching the whole time walking down there, so I got a little glimpse, and that was it. And then it was like, get out of there. It was like a hit and run thing. But
well, normally it is. that's kind of what it's for.
So yeah, it's that was a little strange. I mean, it's pretty much what I thought it would be. But we were doing a tour. We did they have a lot of canals there. It's like Venice. They have canals all over the place. So we took the canal. I mean, we took the boat tour around the canals. That was really cool. But we also did the walking tour. And then we get up to the red light district, and the tour guy says, we can't go any further. We can't bring you down there. We're not allowed. And I said, well, what happened? He goes, well, for years, the tours would go down there, and people would just be gawking at the women in the windows, like everybody does anyway. And the, I guess you call them professionals, they started to complain to the city, I guess the city council or whatever, that they didn't want the tourists down there because they weren't making anything off them. They weren't, they were with the groups. They weren't going to take part in what's going on, the frolicking and the fun. So they couldn't have come up with a package
that was included in the tour.
Maybe they do have packages, but not from the Viking River tour. And so they didn't allow the groups to go down there. But if you went down there individually, sure, you can do whatever the hell you want and walk down there. But yeah, the coffee shops, as they say, the weed places, just to me, it was like the hippies. The hippies from the 60s that are still alive and all the young hippies found their way to Amsterdam. That's what it was. And then, of course, you have Van Gogh. You have another great artist there. I can't even remember. That are from that area. So that was really spectacular. But just cruising down the river was so cool. It was fun. So anyway, that was my vacation. Great to be back. Kept up with things for the most part. Of course, in this world where you get the internet everywhere and the World Wide Web, it was easy to do so. Saw everything that was going on, both nationally and, of course, locally. And we got a lot coming up. We got the draft coming up in 3 weeks. Looking forward to that. I see that the jaw rumblings are picking up a little bit of steam as far as that's concerned. I'm sure it will be like that in the next few weeks. And then, of course, while I was away, I was surprised to see that the Spurs went into Oklahoma City and won Game 7. That stunned me. But the Spurs playing great basketball. And then they open up and blow a lead, as you guys, I'm sure, talked about yesterday. Should have won Game 1. So tonight you got Game 2 in San Antonio. The Knicks have won 12 straight games, as you guys know, and tonight they're a 5.5-point underdog, so they expect, the Vegas at least, expects the Spurs to even it up, 7:30 on ABC. But the Knicks right now are playing tremendous basketball. As I mentioned, the 12 wins in a row, and New York is losing its collective minds. I can't imagine if they go on to win what's going to happen in the Big Apple.
The line is actually 6.5 for tonight.
Wow, 6.5 now? Okay.
But, yeah, I mean, New York, they have, they're a bit starved for a Knicks championship. It's been a bit.
It's been a bit.
So, yes, they are, I mean, the ticket prices are insane for Game 3 and Game 4, but Game 3 especially. And, yeah, if they do end up winning it all, I don't, it is going to be one crazy party in New York City.
And did you guys see, I'm sure you did, who's expected to make an appearance Game 3? The Donald.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's already off the charts as far as the craziness, it's New York City. We know the fanfare. We know all the stars, the celebrities, and now the president's going to make an appearance. It's going to be nuts. But Jay Hamm, good morning to you. Will the Spurs even the deal tonight?
They have no choice. you cannot go back to Manhattan down 0-2 with the way that these people have been playing. That would make 13 in a row as far as wins. And we hadn't really talked about them winning 7 in a row on the road in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. That was impressive as well. But I think, I mean, the Spurs are 5-1 coming off losses in the playoffs. I think they'll make the proper adjustments. They're going to come out firing. We'll be 1-1 after this evening, hopefully.
It's crazy because Wembanyama coming off losses has generally been really good.
Right.
As you mentioned, they've only lost one time coming off a loss. Now, one of the wins he did not play in, because that was after the concussion in the Portland series. He didn't play the next game. They won the next game. He did not play in that. But if you look at him, I mean, he's had, coming off of losses, he had a 19-15 game, a 27-17 game, then he had 26-4 against Oklahoma City. That was the game they lost, where they lost their second row. Then he came back after that with 33-8, and then in game 6 of the Oklahoma City series, 28-10. And in those games, the four wins off of losses that he's played in, they've won by 38, 29, 21, and 27.
Jeez.
So they've generally bounced back pretty darn well from losses in these, whenever they've lost in these playoffs.
So I didn't get to see the game being overseas, but read about everything that happened. And obviously the Spurs had the lead and let one go, but you got to give a lot of credit. I'm sure you guys did yesterday to Karl-Anthony Towns, what he did in the third quarter specifically, but Jalen Brunson did his thing in the fourth, and you couple that with just real cold shooting, especially from the outside for the Spurs. That's how you blow a lead. But you know, Brunson, who took 31 shots, still scored 30 points and hit big shots down the stretch. But Karl-Anthony Towns, if he can play like that against Wemby and give him that bonus, obviously he's a very good player, but you got him doing his thing with Brunson and Anunoby, who always seems to be able to do things in big games, combined with some of the guys who play more on the defensive end of Josh Hart. You get the bonus when he does some things offensively, but he's the defensive guy. You look at that starting five, and you can understand why they're in the position they're in. Plus, they're a pretty deep team. And then on the flip side, I saw a lot of people complaining about De'Aaron Fox shouldn't have been in there down the stretch. I don't know what you guys thought about that.
Yeah, they should have been with Dylan Harper. I mean, Fox has just struggled really shooting the ball, especially playing on a, you know, his ankle's not all the way right. So I can imagine it's tough to really do anything, especially trying to jump and shoot and run and do that. He's out there, he's competing, but it's just not working for him. And they really should have had Dylan in at the close on that.
Yeah, that's what I was reading. So we'll see what happens tonight, what adjustments are made. But game two tonight of the NBA Finals with the Knicks leading the Spurs 1-0.
Arthur texted it. He said, I read the last time that the Knicks led the finals was the same day as the O.J. car chase. That is correct. Yes, it was the last time they had a lead in the finals.
How about that fun fact? And I use the word fun loosely.
That day, there was a lot of stuff going on that day. That was
like game five, I think. Yeah.
It was after they won game five of that series that year. And then that was...
John Starks went crazy in game six and they lost that lead. Because that's the one Dream blocked the shot at the end.
Yes.
And then he went 2-for-18 in game seven.
But there was four
Arnold,
things going
Arnold
on that
Palmer,
day.
I think it's like last round at the U.S. Open or something that day. They did the 30 for 30
World Cup
on that.
Started that day.
Yeah, they did 30 also, for 30 on that about that day.
Also, the Rangers parade was that day because that was their first Stanley Cup in like 55 or 54 years or something.
Yeah, it was a crazy, crazy day.
Yeah, it was a full day.
Before we get to some other NBA news, you mentioned the Stanley Cup Finals. So that's going on. Every other day you get the NBA Finals or the Stanley Cup Finals. It's pretty cool how the schedule works out that way. Which one will end first, I wonder? Well, last night, Las Vegas in Carolina, in Raleigh, had a chance to go up 2-0 in the series, had the lead, blew the lead, came back, tied it, and then lost it in overtime to Carolina. And Carolina, just like was the case in the series against Montreal, the Eastern Conference Final, where they spotted Montreal the lead in the series, and then once that happened, they got that first win. You knew it was going to be all Carolina. I don't know. Vegas is a very good team. They're going back home. They should be up 2-0. They're only up 1. I mean, it's tied now 1-1. I think that ignites Carolina. The overtime win. They had the one goal that was disallowed for Vegas. But the Knights should be up 2-0 in that series. But that's the drama of the Cup. The Stanley Cup Finals. When you get the Game 7s, my gosh, they're exciting.
The... last night I was like, you know what? I'll turn on and watch the end of this game. I turned that game on with basically exactly 10 minutes to go in regulation.
Oh my gosh.
When it was 2-0.
You saw everything.
It was amazing. It was crazy stuff. I was like, this is unbelievable. As soon as I turned it on, they got the first goal. And then you had to tie it up and then the whole situation with the disallowed goal, which I did not know. I learned last night. I did not know that if you challenge a call in the NHL and lose, that you get a penalty.
I didn't know that.
It is a delay of game penalty. That's what gave Carolina the power play where they took the lead, is Vegas challenged the disallowed goal and lost, and so that is a penalty. It is a delay of game penalty. And so,
well, that's pretty penal for a challenge.
Well, that day you better be pretty darn certain on a challenge. I was actually thinking, like, what if the NBA did that? Like, what if you lose a challenge, it is a delay of game? So if you do, like in the NBA, if you already have a delay
foul,
of game,
free throw?
You get your second one as a technical. Like, what if, like, how would that change anything as far as coaches approaching of how they challenge? If we lose this, it is a delay of game penalty.
Yeah, it would, because now you're putting points
it
on the
would,
board.
It would, and you probably have NBA coaches before every game reminding their players, stop saying everything should be reviewed. You know how everything was a bad call and review
it? Extra pressure on the dudes behind the bench that's back there. Make sure a coach review that.
Exactly. I mean, again, in hockey, you gave them a penalty or a power play in the third period of a tie game over a challenge. Like, that's one. I mean, the coach said, he's like, I'll challenge that 10 out of 10 times.
That plays into, like, situational hockey.
Man, I was like, that's a very bold challenge, knowing what is on the line in that situation of game two of the Stanley Cup Finals.
The NHL has decided, it seems like, yes, we want to use modern technology on a bad call if you want to challenge it, but we don't like really the challenges. We don't want the delays. We don't want stoppage in hockey. So you could do it, but it's going to be penal if you're wrong about it. Setting up the show, John Varlas is going to join us in studios. He does every Friday. That'll be coming up at 7:25. Joe DeLeon at 8:25 to talk college football and all kinds of things pigskin. Ed DeRose at 9:25. We got the final race of the Triple Crown Series. No Triple Crown winner. In fact, this one's strange because once again, it's at Saratoga, not Belmont. It'll be the last year at Saratoga, but the renovations are completed at Belmont. But you got the Kentucky Derby winner, rather, Golden Temple returning. But you do not have Napoleon Solo, the Preakness winner, so it won't be a showdown. So I don't know how much interest this will bring out for the fans. The racing fans, the purists, will certainly watch. But I just wonder. We'll talk to Ed about that at 9:25. Of course, we got 10 in a row. The game show that has swept the nation, that'll come your way at 9:05, brought to you by Napa Cafe and Gates Lumber. I saw yesterday there's still three openings with NBA head coaches. Sweeney's going to Orlando. I saw that over the weekend. But there's still three openings. Portland's down to three choices, including Splitter, who was the interim, Tiago Splitter. And then you have the openings in Chicago and Dallas. But I read yesterday, I don't know how much truth there is, that Dallas is focusing on college coaches, that they're looking at Dusty May, they're looking at Shire from Duke. I don't know if they can land one. And where does this leave Billy Donovan? I thought for sure Donovan was going to end up in Orlando.
I would guess it's looking like Billy Donovan by now, but I don't know. I mean, Dallas, I don't think Dallas will get either one of those guys. That's about the only way that either one of those guys could have a higher payroll than what they have right now. But they, I certainly don't see Shire going there. I don't know. I have no idea if Dusty May has any desire ever to be an NBA coach. I don't know why he would want to leave. I mean, with what he's got going at Michigan.
Right.
It wouldn't make a whole lot of sense to me. So I would be very surprised if either one of those two guys were to leave for the NBA with they both got a pretty good situation right now where they are, and both have both programs are in a pretty darn good spot.
Bingo. You're getting paid handsomely. They're young coaches. They're enjoying what they're doing. As long as they're not soured by where we are in collegiate sports, specifically in this case, collegiate basketball, then you're fine. If your lifelong dream was to coach the NBA and you get the opportunity, maybe that's a little bit different. But, yeah, I would think to be able to wrestle one of these guys away from their current situations, I think will be awfully hard. So it'll end up being, I'm sure, a recycled coach or a young coach, like a Sweeney who gets an opportunity in Orlando. But they could go with a recycled veteran coach. I saw that. Speaking of veteran coaches, Rick Adelman passed away the other day. Certainly sad news from the NBA. The college baseball super regionals, as you mentioned, Eli, to start the show, they get underway today. Four of the eight series get underway, including Ole Miss and Auburn. 6:30 at Auburn. We'll have it for you right here on Sports 56, 98.5 FM. The SEC has won five straight, 6 of 7. Of course, they didn't play the COVID year, but they have absolutely dominated, and they have a chance to land a bunch of teams in the College Baseball World Series in Omaha, although a number of these super regionals pit the SECs against the SEC. You got Ole Miss at Auburn being one of them, as we just talked about. But you got some other ones, including Mississippi State.
That's the other one.
That's the other one. Yeah, taking on Georgia in the Battle of the Bulldogs. So obviously, you got two that'll be headed to Omaha, at least two. But the other matchups that will be taking place in the Super Regionals include Oklahoma at Kansas. So the Sooners could become a third team from the SEC. St. John's, a big surprise, at Alabama, the heavy favorite. They're the highest or the biggest odds to move on of any of these regionals, these Super Regionals. So Alabama could be the fourth if it all goes right. And then Texas at Oregon, which will be a battle for the Longhorns. And that would be the fifth. So they have a chance for five, if I'm not mistaken. Isn't that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Also, you got North Carolina at Southern Cal. You have Cal Poly.
Southern Cal at North Carolina.
Oh, I'm sorry. Southern Cal at North Carolina. That's a big difference. And then you have Cal Poly at West Virginia and Little Rock at Troy.
It's crazy. Crazy stuff. We've talked about it. The fact that one of those two is going to be in Omaha. It's something. You know, last year Murray State was there, so we see some of this, but to have Little Rock and Troy in a super regional is not something that you would expect to see very often.
And Texas has done it again. Another win for the SEC, this time in softball. They win the College World Series as they take down Texas Tech 2-0 in the best of three series. So the second straight year those two teams met, and the second straight year that the Longhorns come away victorious.
Yeah, incredible. Another incredible season for them. And Nigeri Kanady ends up with four trips to the College World Series and no championships out of it. But they got to her late in that game a little bit. Another thing I learned watching this, I had no idea about this, but did you know that the Olympics, obviously in L.A., but Olympic softball will be in Oklahoma City?
I didn't know that.
So they're playing the softball in Oklahoma City while the Olympics are in L.A.
How did that happen?
Because they just don't have a venue
for it
in L.A. to do it, and they didn't want to.
They didn't want to invest in one either. Huh?
Well, they did. Yeah, they certainly weren't going to build one. And I don't know. I don't remember which one it was where they did it like in a baseball stadium and they put up like a temporary fence and they didn't want it to look that way. They want it, and obviously Oklahoma City knows all about hosting giant softball.
Yeah,
they've got the big stadium. I think they're going to actually increase the seating up to like 15,000 people. So they're like, even though it's obviously a long way away, it just makes a lot more sense. Because UCLA's stadium seats like 1,200 people or something. Like, it's like a very small soft. Like, they couldn't do it there. I guess USC, like, there's just nowhere to do it in L.A. And so they just said, Oklahoma City knows what the hell they're doing. We'll put it in Oklahoma City.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible because our country is so large. When they have the Olympics at other countries, I mean, there's some others certainly that are huge. But especially in Europe, you roll through them, those countries like states, yeah. United States. And in fact, some of them are so small, it's just like a hop, skip, and a jump, and you're through to another country. So if even Germany, which is a bigger country, is hosting, or France, which is a bigger country, is hosting, they're just like a blip on the radar as far as the size is concerned. So in the United States, when we host and there's not the right venue in that certain city, then they'll move it around like this. It's not a surprise. World Cup is a little bit different. It's hosted by North America, so you're going to have it all over the place, and it's certainly all over the place in the United States as part of that. But the distances are so far, but it's incredible that they're able to do that with the other countries. Again, it's more of a better proximity to be able to cover all the events in that general area. You know, they'll go up into the mountains for certain things, but here in the United States, it can be spread out like that. That's wild. I did not have an idea that it would be Oklahoma City to host softball in 2028 when the United States will be hosting the Olympic Games. We have a lot to get to on the show. John Varlas will join us next. We have the latest as far as what Tony Petitti and Greg Sankey had to say about the Protect College Sports Act, which is the bipartisan bill that's trying to be ushered in to help with collegiate sports. Also, Memphis Tigers basketball is Penny Hardaway about to add a 15th and final player to his roster. More publications are coming out with predictions for the college football season, and we'll tell you more about that as far as where they have the Memphis Tigers finishing in the American Conference. But before we do any of that, before we take the break, let me tell you about the great folks at Old Dominic Distillery. They are the first hour sponsor of Sports 56 Mornings, located at 305 South Front Street. It's getting warm. A nice, refreshing cocktail using Old Dominic products. Man, that will hit the spot. Let me tell you, olddominic.com is the website. They list all of their whiskeys and spirits. They list all of their signature cocktails and instructions on how you can make them at home using Old Dominic spirits. But when you head downtown for a dinner or for an event, make sure you stop by and have one of those award-winning craft spirits. Celebrate your wins with a guided tour and tasting. Make it a nightcap at Old Dominic Distillery at the Distillery Bar, which is absolutely fantastic. Again, producing Tennessee whiskey, bourbon, vodka, including the Honeybell Citrus, Formula 10 gin. They have it all for you. Memphis made, Memphis produced. It's Old Dominic Distillery. Come for the spirit, stay for the experience. Cheers to Memphis. When we return, John Varlas joins us from the Daily Memphian. This is Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Join the voice of the Tigers, Dave Woloshin, for Wolo and Friends. Weekday mornings from 10 to 11, here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Back to Sports 56 Mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by Old Dominic Distillery in downtown Memphis. Here once again are Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
The time just underway on a Friday. It's the Friday, June 5th, 2026 edition. I'm back from vacation. Greg Gaston, Eli Savoy, Jay Hamm with you, broadcasting live and local from the Family Leisure Studios. Okay, it's Friday. You know what time it is. It's time for JV.
It's time for Greg and Eli's weekly visit with John Varlas of the Daily Memphian. Check out John's prep sports coverage and much more at dailymemphian.com. John is brought to you by Shoot 360 Memphis, where the pros and preps go to get their shot on. Shoot 360 Memphis. Now here's John Varlas with Greg and Eli.
He is the award-winning prep reporter for the Daily Memphian, but he's so much more. He's John Varlas. You can follow him on Twitter at John Varlas. He joins us every single Friday. And he is indeed brought to you by the great folks at Shoot 360 Memphis with two locations, 85 Market Street in Collierville. You can call them at 901-316-5500 or in Cordova, Big Orange Road. That's 901-779-3176. The future of basketball training is here at Shoot 360 Memphis. Good morning, John.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Eli. Good morning, Jay. And good morning, Marco Polo. How's it going over there? Can Greg and I talk just briefly here for a second?
Yeah, don't mind me.
Got a bone to pick with you, Greg.
Two, all right,
two actually, but it's all in good fun. Number one, Eli teed you up with a really great opportunity there with the Viking cruise thing. He teed you up for some real good comedy there, and I'm just so frustrated that you missed a chance to, you know, make an Alan Page reference or a Mick Tinglehoff reference or a, you know,
I brought up J.J. McCarthy. I modernized.
I know J.J. McCarthy and
Kyler Murray.
And Kyler Murray, but I guess my biggest question, and this is none of my business, but who goes on vacation for, I guess, essentially 2 weeks and then comes back on a Friday?
Me.
Yeah, you do.
Me.
Me. Like I said, it's none of my business.
I mean, I could have taken Friday off.
That's what I'm saying. Why didn't you just take the Friday off?
Because, I don't know, I just wanted to come back.
You like this?
Well, yeah, I love you, John.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Come on, I brought you on years ago, John.
No, I appreciate it. Yeah, I missed you. You did.
I missed you. I had to have my John Varlas fixed. But well, no, we came back. The trip was through Wednesday. It took a while to adjust, and that jet lag is a real thing.
It is a real thing.
And then I walked in on, you know, I wasn't going to come back to work Thursday morning, and then Thursday I ended up having to run around. I had a garage door problem, had to get that fixed, went and saw the kids play, actually do a swim meet last night, so everything was good. I'm ready to rock and roll on Friday, so that's why I'm here.
I hear you on that, and like I said, it's not something I would do. Would you come back to work on Friday, Eli?
Probably not on a Friday.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't either. But I understand it, and I'm just messing with you. It's all in good
I would try to avoid you. But.
Yeah. No, most people would.
I was going to come back, but Varlas is on Friday, exactly. So therefore I'll stay away for an extra day.
It also proves my commitment to this station, which I've been at for decades now. Okay?
Nobody can challenge your work ethic. How many countries did you go to, Greg?
Went to four this time around.
You went to the Black Forest in Germany.
Went to France.
Else? France.
Went to Netherlands and to Switzerland.
And you said it was a cruise, so I guess you just saw like the port areas, right?
That's where we cruised. I mean, it was the Rhine River. But once you get off the boats, you go on these excursions. And some of them are, 2 hours away. Some are an hour away.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Saw the battlefields of the Rhine Valley area, which is a big area where World War II was fought. And basically, that was the Allied forces took control around January of 45. So, D-Day, I mean, not D-Day, but I guess D-Day was coming up there, and then the surrender later that year. Yeah. So it was towards the end of the campaign, but it was amazing. Yeah. The artifacts that they found. And they talked about, on the tour that if they dig up these farms over there, they were showing us the farms in the valley. If they dig up the farms, they will find soldiers. Like, there's, I mean, you just look at that and you go, what?
Wow.
She said, oh, yeah, there's so many missing that they will find them if they dig down. And I'm thinking to myself, why don't they make them dig? Like, why don't they force them to do it? I guess they can if they own the land, but it's like you try to find as many MIAs and, POWs and all that. Of course, they won't be POWs in this case, but to find the bodies and be able to identify them for the families.
Well, that sounds like a really great trip, man, and I'm glad you got to do it. I love travel myself. Been blessed to have gone to several foreign countries myself, so I always like to talk about it and hear other people's experiences, but it sounds like you had a great time, man.
How many countries have you visited?
Let's see. We've been to Barcelona, so Spain. We've been to Paris. I've been to Canada by myself, Argentina. I think that's about it for foreign countries. Oh no, I went to Helsinki, Finland, before I got married.
So the wild thing is, one of the tour guides is like, she loved this area. She was from England, but she moved to the area. She goes, I love this area. I get my car and I can go to one of eight countries within 4 or 5 hours.
Yeah.
So you think about here, if you're going east from Memphis and driving down 40, you're not even at the end of Tennessee.
No, you're
not. In that time, that you can go to Czech Republic, you can go to Spain, Netherlands, Luxembourg, France, Italy, Germany. I mean, what?
No, that's all really cool, but they're just small countries, geographically. I mean, it's no different than if you lived in if you lived in Ohio, and you got in your car and drove in several different directions, you could be in several different states, right?
Yeah, a couple,
Tennessee's just weird geographically.
Right.
And the United States is so big. That's what people...
That's the whole point.
If you live in the Northeast, you could be in a bunch of different states.
Yeah, you could do the Northeast and...
And that's...
But here's the difference.
Similar to Europe.
There's borders, but they're not really important when you're going from Vermont to New Hampshire. A little bit different. And... Yes, while the dialect changes a little bit, certainly from the Northeast and the North to the South with the way we speak and all that, but we're all Americans. We're there. It's like you cross the border. Now you're in France. It's a whole different ballgame in France. It's a whole different ballgame in Germany, in Italy. It's all different.
Yeah, it's different.
It's incredible.
Well, and you don't want to – I hope you didn't get in trouble for violating the Schengen Agreement or anything like that, right?
I wasn't familiar with that one.
What did they agree on?
Some sort of treaty.
What was their agreement?
It's a treaty between countries.
What's funny, though,
just a funny reference.
The tour guides, they always are ripping the other country or like the – like another city. Like the guy in Cologne, he's walking around, he's talking about, everybody's talking about beers. They're talking about beer and pretzels. Like everywhere you go, beer and pretzels. I go, this is a good thing. It's a great place for Eli. I love beer, just beer. He goes, all he's doing is making fun of the town that we just rolled through was Dusseldorf.
Dusseldorf,
and he kept going, Dusseldorf. He goes, yeah, their soccer team dropped relegation. We're up here. We're better than them in that. We're better than them. Our beer's better than them. Our pretzels are better than them.
How about that?
They're just ripping each other from the country to country and city to city.
Just like Memphis and Nashville.
It's
a bold statement to say your pretzels are better than somebody else's. That's fighting words right there, calling out our pretzels.
I mean, it's amazing about the pretzels. I had such a big deal where I was, but it certainly was, but it was great.
What was the best meal you had, right quick?
Oh, God. The chef on board was so good. I mean, they had everything. John, I have to think about it. It was so good, but You know, it was.
Well, you're looking good.
I'm telling you, the food. No, I put on 10 pounds.
Well, you don't look bloated at all. It's like you come back fit and healthy.
We drank. I wish there was a gym. There wasn't a gym on board, but man, what they don't have is they don't have kids. First of all, there's no kids on the ships.
Oh, it's an adult cruise?
It's an adult cruise.
Okay, that's good.
They don't have a casino. So I don't know if Eli would like this one.
Yeah.
Because usually he goes on vacation on a ship and wins money.
Well,
he's a lucky guy.
So that sounds good. No gym, no.
That's a deal breaker for me also.
Yeah. Or the gym?
No, that's a vacation. I was also a little surprised that you were. I mean, I guess, you know, the way you're wired, you would do this. But I mean, when I go on vacation, I don't check anything local. I mean, I don't care what the Grizzlies are doing. I don't care what's necessarily going on in high school. I mean, I'm not.
You get off the grid.
I'm pretty much off the grid.
I keep up.
Especially when I'm out of the country because of the time difference. It's like my brain is just
it's crazy.
Wired
but
to think differently.
Yeah, I keep up.
It's good that you kept up.
Last thing, we'll move on. But we went to a vineyard, a wine thing. My wife loves wine and all that. And I'm not a big wine guy, but certainly went along. Beautiful place. End up finding out that the owners, like, have gone generation. But two generations ago, the guy had an American mother or whatever. So he's a little bit Americanized. Yeah. But the son, he lives right there. This was in France, not Germany. In France, where the wine is fantastic. And they're making fun of the German wine. I mean, I'm telling you, it's incredible.
Wow.
But the guy has, we walk down there and there's all kinds of like stuff from the United States, posters, things like that. They had a golf simulator and he had all pictures of like Augusta National and all that. And I'm sitting there in a French wine cellar drinking wine and the guy's got a golf simulator and all these, you know, red, white, and blue everywhere.
Well, and that's the thing. There's been arguments last couple of weeks on Twitter, you know, now that the World Cup is coming to America and, you know, a lot of people from other parts of the world don't necessarily like that. And they're finding problems and nitpicking America and, you know, nitpicking the weather and the TV times and all this kind of stuff. But you think about America, I mean, America culture, it's just been exported all over the world. I mean, Hollywood, you know, music, I mean, you know, sports, like you say, the influence of American culture has just been exported all over the world. And you can find it anywhere, like you're saying, Greg, even in these little out of the way places like you would, that you wouldn't expect to see the influence. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah. But I would recommend that trip for anybody, the Viking River Tours. All right. So let's get to what's happening. I know, obviously, the season's done. Anything going on as far as the preps on the field. But there's news off the field. In fact, on Tuesday, you'll be making a trip to Mount Juliet. The Board of Control, the TSSAA Board of Control, has a bunch of topics that they'll be discussing.
Yeah. Hot button issue the one that I'm most interested in and the one that, you know, I've been sort of vocal about in my opposition to, but shot clock is going to be on the agenda for high school basketball. And that's the proposal's been put forth locally by our friends at Bartlett High School. And so the board is going to hear arguments and discuss, you know, possibly implementing a shot clock. I don't know when. Like I was telling Eli off the air at these Board of Control meetings, you know, you have an agenda of topics and the Board of Control discusses it. You know, somebody says the pros, somebody says the cons. You know, they talk about it. Why would it be good? You know, they run through the ramifications. So there's no guarantee that there will necessarily be a vote at this particular meeting. There could be, but, you know, there's no guarantee that there will be. That's interesting. I mean, there's, you know, 33 states in our country that have a shot clock, 17 don't. Tennessee's one of the ones that don't. I mean, you know, the arguments for a shot clock, you know, people say, well, it'll improve play, it'll, you know, get kids ready for the next level. You know, I always push back on that because there's so few kids that actually do play at the next level, and the ones that do, they're getting developed elsewhere with, you know, personal trainers and you know, AAU circuit, grassroots and things of that nature. So they're getting the development they need. But, you know, the cost is going to be an issue as well. So it's going to be a real interesting conversation. And for, you know, like I said, I think it's a big issue. And that's why I'm planning to head up there. I mean, there's going to be other changes too proposed for high school basketball. I think seeding for the state tournament is also on the agenda. They've done that, you know, last couple of years for soccer. And I think it's been successful where instead of just, you know, kind of blind drawing it, you seed it out, you know, 1 through 8. And play the tournament that way once you get to the quarterfinals. So, you know, that's something that could, you know, potentially be advantageous to the Memphis teams because, you know, typically they play good schedules in basketball and, you know, kind of gets your quote unquote, your RPI up. You know, I'm not sure.
The net.
Yeah, your net.
Strength of record.
I'm not sure what metric you would use for seeding, but I mean, you take somebody like Bartlett, for example. I mean, they went into the state tournament with 4 losses, but, you know, they would have been the number one seed because they played a national level schedule and you know, a lot of tough games against very, very good competition. I mean, it was borne out by the fact that they won the state championship, that they were the best team, but I think they would have also been seeded as the number one team despite, you know, having 4 losses and some of these other teams in the field had, you know, better records, you know, on paper. So that's on the table, you know, possible changes to the district tournament. So, you know, basketball-wise, it's going to be, I think, a very productive and interesting meeting like these Board of Control things always are.
We got to take a break, but because I'm very intrigued about the whole shot clock. I want to have more of the shot clock discussion when we come back.
We'll put a 35 second limit on my comments.
And by the way, congrats. I saw you retweet this. Dylan Jones, speaking of Bartlett High School, class of 27, named co-MVP of the Pangos All-American Camp.
Yeah. So
this guy continues to just showcase his skills.
Yeah, Dylan's incredible. I mean, he was MVP of the state tournament. And it looks like he's just, you know, continuing to improve by leaps and bounds here heading into his senior season. So,
all right, more John Varlas when we return. Again, JV brought to you by the great folks at Shoot 360 Memphis, a revolutionary basketball training facility. It combines cutting-edge technology with gamification and provides instant objective feedback with hands-on one-on-one expert coaching. Get your shots up at Shoot 360 Memphis. Call them in Collierville at 901-316-5500 or in Cordova at 901-779-3176. This is Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Add a little fun to your lunch break. Join Johnny Radio for Sports 56 Happy Hour from 11 to 1 every weekday on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Now back to Sports 56 Mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by Old Dominic Distillery in downtown Memphis. Here once again are Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
That's me in the corner.
So, John, you said that, first of all, Bartlett made this proposal. So, can any school make a proposal about rule changes? And, like, what gets it onto the actual agenda? Or is it automatically on the agenda? Or, like, does it have to meet a certain, like, standard, I guess, for them to put it onto the agenda?
The second part of your question is, I don't think something has to meet a standard to be put on the agenda. Now, I think if somebody were to propose something completely frivolous,
I
don't think it would be discussed. But in terms to answer your first question, that's how the TSSAA operates, and it's, you know, one of the things that I think is good about the TSSAA. Mm-hmm. It's a member driven organization. Yeah. These schools say, well, we don't like, you know, XYZ. Well, you can propose a change to XYZ and you know, take it to the board and see what happens. I mean, rule changes are proposed by the schools.
Does Bartlett, like, will there be like a representative there from Bartlett,
I imagine,
clearly, like, why they want this? Like, is there a hearing, I guess?
There's not a hearing per se. I mean, what it is they've submitted their proposal. The Board of Control is going to discuss their proposal and discuss the merits of it. And like I said, maybe vote on it, maybe not, maybe kick it down the road to a future meeting, that kind of thing. I would imagine, and I haven't talked to anybody at Bartlett. I imagine maybe there would be somebody from there, and you know, just to for support. And,
yeah, I didn't know. Yeah, I didn't know if it was like literally like a hearing where they're like, here's Bartlett. You guys state your case why or whatever.
Yeah,
if somebody that opposes it maybe wanted to be there to state their case why they oppose it. But you, and you said so 35 seconds, that is the...
I think 35 seconds is pretty standard around the country, that schools that do have shot clocks.
Or states,
right? States, yeah. States that do have shot clocks. And that's the thing, you know, and the guys at Bartlett, I mean, I respect them, I joke with them, but, you know, 35 seconds is great for them because they're really good. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah.
Both of them.
Then, I mean, first, when you're really good, you want the shot clock because you want more possessions in a game. I mean,
right.
It just dictates.
Exactly.
The more possessions, the better your talent wins out.
Yeah, the boys and the girls teams, they're both awesome. I mean, you know, I would, you know, from their perspective, I understand why they would want a shot clock. But
that was another question I had. Is it boys and girls
it has
that
to
they're
be everything. That's the thing. Bartlett plays under a shot clock. You know, Westminster Academy down the street, you know, teeny tiny.
Oh, no, that's what I'm saying. I just didn't know if it was also for girls.
Yeah, it's
they are putting it for
everything.
Both.
Everything. Okay. It would have to be for everything.
How many states have a shot clock?
I believe the current number is 33 that either have it or have, you know, ratified it for the upcoming season or something like that. But the majority of the states are pro shot clock at this point.
All right. We don't have a lot of time to debate it. I love the shot clock. You don't like the shot clock. Eli, you were saying off air that you like the shot clock, but that instituting it might be an issue.
In high school, I would like to see a shot clock, but John made the point, and I do agree. Like, I think at the high school level, the operational side of it could be a bit difficult. Obviously, there are plenty of states that are doing it, but you have to have somebody to actually operate the shot clock. And some of these schools, it's hard to just like grab like a student and put them there. Like, you got to know when to reset it.
Sure.
You're putting the officials have to get used to making sure they're paying attention to the shot clock. Did it get reset correctly? Did it not, or did it get reset when it wasn't supposed to get reset? Like, so for the referees, there's an adjustment process to getting it. Does the shot clock, what happens if the, cause like high school football, like even like Christian Brothers, their play clocks malfunction seemingly every game. Like, so when that shot clock malfunctions, what's the mechanism then? Like, there's a lot at the high school level to be considered with it operationally.
And that's at Christian Brothers, where you have, you know, mostly really competent people.
Yes, yeah.
You know, in charge of the day-to-day operations.
I think you're right about the flow. The flow would certainly not be real smooth to begin with. I think eventually and over time it would get a lot better. There's still going to be issues. But I just look at the long-term picture of, while not all these kids are playing in college, it gets you ready for the next level where they do have a shot clock. I'm not saying that everything in high school has to be exactly everything they have in college, but I think to have even a shot clock of some sort, even if the time is different, gets them a little bit more ready for what the situation will be at the next level.
Yeah, but I hear you, but, you know, 95-96% of the kids in our state aren't going to play at that level.
Right, no, I understand that.
And it's for everybody. It's for 400-plus schools. You know, it's like I said, it's for the big dogs like Bartlett, and then it's for the schools where, you know, they're the basketball team's just out there having fun and you know, and being with their friends.
Well,
and
back in the day, I know.
And I think I said this
back in the day, they would stall. They'd go four corners for a whole damn game, and that wasn't exciting.
And nobody does that.
Anymore. That's why a shot clock wouldn't be a problem.
The fact of the matter is that happens so rarely, Greg, around the country. When you see it, you know, 2-3 times a year, it makes headlines because it happens so rarely.
But it used to happen.
I've saw
it. But we're talking about now, though. Yeah. And it happens so rarely that it makes headlines. I mean, you know, for the most part, these teams get after it and play basketball. But I want there to be that option if you're in foul trouble at the end of the first half and you've only got 8 guys on your bench and, you know, 3 of them have 2 fouls and you want to kill off the last minute and a half of the first half so you can get in the locker room without getting somebody with a third foul. I want you to be able to have the option
to
do that.
Dribble and dribble.
It's a strategic thing on high school. You know, the talent disparity in high school is great. It's not like college in the NBA where, you know, everybody's more equal. The huge talent discrepancy in high school. So I want these schools to be able to have something in their pocket if for those situations.
I hear you. So I would assume parity discrepancy in college too.
But it's not like in high school.
Because they play the schedule, like they've probably played games with shot clocks because they go to all these other states.
They have. And the guys over there, you know, that's part of the reason they like it. So, I respect those guys. I respect their opinion. And we'll see how the discussion goes. But I was once
the PA announcer for a high school basketball game in Illinois where the first quarter was 0-0. There was one shot taken.
That wasn't soccer?
It was not. They won the tip. It was Edwardsville High School. Mike Waldo, they won the tip. Kid dribbled across half court, picked up the basketball, stood there for 7 minutes and 50 seconds, passed the ball. They took a shot, missed it. First quarter was over.
That's exciting. But I mean, it's few and far between.
It actually became quite entertaining just to watch it because the defense, like, they were fine with it. They didn't care. They never came out of the guard. Like, he literally stood
there.
He stood there and held the basketball for 7 minutes and 50 seconds or whatever. Like, nobody ever
must
came
have been
out.
Fun they, you calling that.
They stood there and watched it.
Oh, you weren't the broadcaster.
I was
you
were PA.
The broadcaster.
It was great for me, for PA.
If they had a broadcaster, oh my gosh.
That game went 7-0. Times. So.
Wow. And Johnson has the ball and he dribbles.
And that's on the dribbles again. That's on the defense, though, right? The defense has to come out and
again,
play.
They were completely fine with it. They're like, that's fine. If you want to play a three-quarter game, we'll play a three-quarter game.
John, we got 2 minutes left to go. I know you covered this earlier this week, I believe it was. Again, I was out of the country. But something I thought that might happen did happen. Dr. Scott mentioning that the University of Memphis will be go full rev share starting this 26-27 academic year. That's going to be over the $21.5 million, which was instituted in for the first year. So it's going to be a little bit more than that.
$20.5 million just will now be $20.
Sorry, $20.5 million. And it goes up to $21.5 million. He also made the mention that if the teams aren't winning and producing on the field, on the court, then it's probably not going to be sustainable. But right now they're going all in, and it's a rarity. What was your overall take of what Dr. Scott had to say?
Well, I think my overall take was, you know, there's been conversation and chatter that, you know, the basketball program is being sacrificed for the football program. You know, basketball's being thrown under the bus, this and that, yada, yada, yada. I mean, the takeaway I have is that, you know, Dr. Scott's commitment to the basketball program is clear. You know, he's going to give Penny Hardaway the money that he needs, that he feels like, to be successful. I mean, if you read the article and Dr. Scott's comments, when he got here, the basketball budget was like 2.5. And then the next year, you know, they had that meeting with Penny and Tim Duncan. And he said, how much do you need? He said, well, I need 4. They got it up to almost 5, you know, 4.99. So it went from, you know, so it essentially doubled. And now it's essentially doubling again. So, you know, $9 million roster budget for the American Conference. I mean, that should make you pretty competitive. It should allow you to be pretty competitive within your conference. Now, it's not going to be, you know, you're not going to be able to compete with Kentucky that just brought in this Momcilovic guy and paid him, you know, allegedly $5-6 million. You know, that's, you know, 2/3 of your budget for one player. You're not going to be able to do that. But, you know, within your conference, yeah, I mean, I think the commitment from Dr. Scott and the expectation is, you know, Memphis should be competing for conference championships, and we're going to give you the resources to do that.
Eli and I will continue this conversation, open up hour number 2. John, as always, great stuff. Make sure to follow John on Twitter at John Varlis. Read all his great stories at the Daily Memphian. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay. Did I miss my souvenir?
Oh, it's coming.
Oh, good.
Just wait.
I hope,
one day.
I hope it's not from Amsterdam.
It's a pretzel, but it's stale by now.
That was a harrowing tale.
I would know not to bring you anything back from Amsterdam. Of course, I would be in jail right now if I tried to.
You're
do
not
that.
A regular in the red light district. You got a punch card.
John's got a punch card. John, thank you. Appreciate that. Again, John Varlis is brought to you each and every week by Shoot 360 Memphis. We'll take a break. Hour 2 on the way. This is Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Not only can you